It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
The Fantasy Six-Pack Hour. With your hosts, Joe Bob.
You're awful.
And AJ Applegar.
It's a mouthful.
All right. Welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, my co-host, AJ Applegarth. What's going on, man?
Yeah, what's up, man? Not too much. Crazy week at work, but ready to sit down and finally talk some football, some NFC East. Got my Absolutely. Eagles gear in full effect. I got my Dawkins, as usual, behind me. Got a hashtag Fly Eagles Fly on the chalkboard. So, yeah, we're good. We're ready.
I do not have my X team behind me, and I say that because it was the Washington team. They're dead to me. So we'll get into that, obviously. So Scott Fishbowl, man. Scott Fishbowl ended for both of us. Mine was yesterday. I think yours was today. How do you think you did, man?
Yeah, mine was like a few hours ago. Well, maybe like four or five now, finally. Pretty good. I'm pretty happy with my team. I tweeted it out a little earlier. I think it's hopefully going to do me better than my 1-11 team of last year.
As long as you have a healthy starting quarterback, you will do better than last year.
Yeah, I think so. I think that was a big downfall for me last year. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I like your team overall, man. You got the Robinson and Galladay receiver, who I like a lot. You got the Galladay-Stafford pairing, which is great. I think that's a good 1-2 punch there. Your running backs are not as strong as others, but you went super early on two quarterbacks, which is fine. Got Mahomes, that's going to be good. Went a little earlier on tight end than I did, so I think that's why your running backs are a little bit weaker than mine. But hey, Kareem Hunt and James White are great, especially in this format. Hunt could really surprise. RB30 seems like a steal for him, in my opinion. Yeah. And then, you know, you got Hines and Moss could really surprise. I'm not really sure why he went RB52 in years. I think that's really late. But you know, he could really surprise. And then Duke Johnson, all he needs is one David Johnson injury away from just being the guy there. Although we've seen that happened in the past where he's the guy and doesn't quite work out like everybody hopes, but it's interesting. I like your random PJ Walker pickup at the last pick there.
Yeah.
Just like my boy, whatever, let's have some fun. So
I figured with Teddy Bridgewater's injury history and you know, PJ doing so well in the XFL, making the leap up to the NFL here, once that got shut down, you know, he was killing it there, and he played under Matt Rhule in college at Temple. Robbie Anderson was also there, so it's a nice little reunion of sorts.
It's not awful, dude. I don't hate it. You know, take a stab there at the end. Sometimes you gotta just go and reach for some of these guys who you know, who could be the potential starter and not have to worry about spending, you know, $70 a fab on them. Which is what I did. Like, so I drafted Lamar number 3. The last pick, I picked up RG3 because, like, if Lamar goes down, obviously my team's screwed. Like, I'm not going to win either way, but I don't want to have to go blow $80 on RG3 to go get him. So I just figured, like, I'll just stash it for a little while. There's not going to be a ton of free agency out there. I've done this league enough to know that there's going to be one or two guys that you want to spend a lot of money on. And, but there'll be more guys than RG3 on my team that I'll want to cut by week one or two. So, it'll be fine. So, I don't know, my team, I don't know if you are checking it out in Slack, because I posted it in the Slack SFB10 channel. What do you think of it, man?
I like it, man. I think it's a strong team, and, you know, not surprising coming from the fifth overall ranker from last year. So I guess you know your stuff a little bit. But yeah, no, I like you said, we kind of have a lot of crossover, some similar players there. Stafford and Allen
Robinson, yeah.
Yeah.
James White.
Yeah. So a couple of the guys that you have on there, either they went super earlier in my league or they just waited around and I had other guys that I wanted to target. So like Hurst, you know, you got him in the eighth and he just randomly fell to me in the 10th on a run of 4 out of 5 tight ends. So
yeah, no, that's nice. You got him and Ingram. Nuts. I must have missed
that. Him and
that's, yeah, like, that's a nice tight end combo, dude. I like that a lot. Yeah. Like, and I tweeted out today on Twitter, my final roster, you know, for the first 11 picks, I kind of did like the whole, hey, here's my guy, and post a little gif of it. That's kind of what I do. But the last half, I don't do that because nobody cares. Nobody really cares about the first 11, but I do it just because it's fun for me. But the last 11, I just kind of updated it and, you know, kind of gave my thoughts with like the last half when it was just like with my starting lineup, you know, in quotes, starting lineup in place with the first 11, I kind of went balance of some risky, some high risk guys and some safer guys. So, you know, safer guys, in my opinion, are Shepard and Murray. They're safer. Like, you know what you're going to get out of them, and they could be more, you know, some of the riskier guys who could just bottom out completely or be awesome are like N'Keal Harry, Justin Jackson, you know, in some degree, Chris Thompson, even, right? Like, I mean, his injury history is just absurd. But yeah, Jalen Hurd and Dari Ogunbowale, I hope I pronounced that right. And like Dan Arnold, like second to last pick. Like, I only took the two tight ends and then he was my third one. He's just like a total shot in the dark there. But, you know, it's whatever. I like the team. It seems pretty balanced. And I don't know if that's really going to win it, but at least it'll keep me competitive and I won't feel stupid. So, but here's to hoping, right?
Exactly.
All right, so a little other news. So obviously, I kind of led with the Washington issue. So the Washington Post article dropped. Obviously, everybody knows about the name change coming. They've already dropped the Redskins from it, but there's a whole lot of other things that came out. So that's going to be interesting to see kind of what comes there. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll wait for Rudy Gamble, who's our guest this week, and let's just go ahead and bring him on now. Rudy, what's going on, man? You there?
I'm here doing well. I mean, as a Giant fan, I feel like 2/3 of the NFC East is stuck there. Well, the crazy is like a week or two ago, I was like, man, the Eagles really, that's ridiculous with DeSean Jackson. Yeah. And the Cowboys are like, watch this. We'll be able to come to terms with our franchise quarterback. And the Redskins are like, holding up here.
Yeah, kidding, exactly. Right?
The team formerly known. Yeah, I have them on the site now as the Washington Thorough Reviews.
That's funny. I need to figure out what I want to do. Obviously, I got to remove the Redskins from all at least the 2020 stuff that we've done. I'm not going to worry about going any farther back than that at this point. This is not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I used to have a couple of Redskins things behind me. And I was going to keep the helmet. It was the old one with the spear behind me. If it was just the name change, I was going to keep it behind me. Because, I don't know, just felt like it was okay to do that. But with this whole news about the sexual assaults and everything else, and it was just like, nah, I'm done. Like, I kind of wrote them off last year. And AJ knows this. Like, I was like, I'm not rooting for this team. I don't care. Snyder and Bruce Allen are they're awful people. If they can get rid of at least half of them, like, I know Snyder's going nowhere. So it's like, if Bruce Allen can go, I'll give him another shot. They brought in Rivera. They fired Allen. I was like, okay, fine. I'll give you a second chance. They now have to get rid of Snyder. Really? Snyder has to go for me to be able to root for them again. I'm done with this team. I'm not rooting for anybody else. I'm just going to watch football and enjoy it and be a fantasy football fan. But they're dead to me. I'm not gonna wear their gear. I'm not gonna have their stuff behind me. It's got to be a clean slate, dude. I'm done. I don't know.
Are you gonna at least disrespect women in your office place? Are you giving that up too?
Be his wife and his daughter.
Yeah, my office place is my house. Yeah, they disrespect me.
Hit kids with a switch. I don't know.
Oh man, Adrian Peterson. Ugh.
Yeah, follows him wherever he goes.
So I don't know, Rudy. What's your thoughts on this whole thing, man? Like, you know, It's obviously horrible what happened. The news that came out is bad. Nobody, I don't think anybody can disagree with that. But I mean, like, what do you think kind of the ramifications of this is going to be?
You know, there's not a lot of cases where an owner has been forced out of like a major sport. I mean, like, so Donald Sterling's the top example that comes up, and he was about as Daniel Snyder-esque as you can get. I think the one thing you say about Daniel Snyder, I don't think he's done anything completely racist. I'm not saying he isn't racist. I'm saying he hasn't done where, yeah, that was the main thing with Donald Sterling, but he was a garbage human being that they used that to get him out. The only other guy is, I think, Frank McCourt. And that was like, I feel like he was basically bankrupt. Or, you know, because they were going to have a divorce. So there's not a lot of precedent for it, but I would gather that they'll figure out a way to get him out. He's a stubborn guy. He seems like he has no friends, at least like Fred Wilpon. Like, I don't know how he stuck around after his fiasco with the Mets, but he had generally been considered an owner of relative high character. You know, you have to balance that. It's like on the curve of owners, but on the curve of anything, Daniel Snyder is shit. So I think he gets forced out. You know, it's like, and it's not like you're gonna have a tough time. Is it gonna be like ridiculous? Like Jeff Bezos buys him. I mean, like, looking at the I'm not a Met fan, but like looking at some of the names that are looking to buy him, it's like you're like, yeah, that seems like that doesn't seem like a great person. And then it's like Sheldon Alderson comes out of like his Vegas like tomb and puts in an offer. Like, yeah, could they'll probably get someone who's like just as reprehensible as Snyder, just maybe in a way that doesn't impact the football team.
Yeah, I mean, I can only hope at least Snyder is gone, and just pray that happens, and hopes whoever comes in isn't as bad. That's all I can hope for at this point. It's just, I'm so sick and tired of this guy. But you're right. Like, I haven't this him getting removed for this seems unlikely. They're just gonna have to like strong arm him out. Like at this point, and like you see it, like the minority owners are going in. And they're trying to hire lawyers and stuff like that to do some investigations to see what they can find and get. And I just hope they find something to do it, because it's just done. And I'm not the only fan that I know, or ex-fan that I know at this point, because a lot of us are just like, we're done with the team. Like, we were done with it last year. We were all willing to kind of just be like, all right, let's see what happens with Rivera and stuff like that. And now that Allen's gone, like I said, but... No, it's this is crossed the line. I'm done.
It's tough, but I'll be honest. It's like, I don't know. Fantasy is a nice crutch. I gave up being a Yankee fan. I was a Yankee fan growing up, and it just got to a point where the salary, they didn't even do anything that bad. It was just the salary disparity was so bad.
Yeah.
That I was like, you know, I feel like I'm rooting for the casino. I'm just a fantasy baseball. I'm like, I basically, whoever I have on my teams is kind of who I root for. The underdog when it comes to World Series. There's no reason yet to give up. I mean, I can't say the Giants have been appointment viewing the last couple of years. It's been like what I think they're the only pro team that I actually consider myself like a true fan of at this point.
All right. That's enough of that. Let's get into something more fun here and do our beer of the week. See if we got our audio queued up here. There we go.
All right, good stuff.
So, Rudy, you are the guest of honor here. Let us know what you're drinking, man.
So this one's pretty light. I just found out a few minutes ago we're going to do this segment.
That's all good.
So this is Lagunitas Daytime. I don't know. There's like a whole genre now of light IPAs that are like 100 calories each. This has been, I think, the one I've liked the best out of them. There's some decent, I think, There's one called Oney out here that's pretty good. It drinks so much better than it would be a light beer. But generally I'm drinking a little bit heavier. But this is in the fridge. It's like 100. It's like 107 out here today. You look at the beer selection. You're like, yeah, I might go a little lighter. Lagunitas Daytime out of they're out of California, I think somewhere.
I've had some Lagunitas before. Good stuff. So, AJ, what are you drinking?
I am drinking the O'Connor Hip Hop Anonymous IPA. I believe it's their volume 3.
Yes.
8.5%. O'Connor Brewing Company. It's pretty good. I mean, it's not like overly heavy for what the percentage is, but I don't know. After the day I've had it, I feel like anything could just do whatever to me and I'd be okay with it. So,
okay. So I'm drinking an Aslin Brewing Company down in Northern Virginia. Significant Other is the beer. It is a 8.4% double dry hopped double IPA. It's good, man. I gave it a 4.25 on Untappd. It's definitely malty and pretty heavy. Like Rudy said, you normally drink, but it wasn't 100 degrees here today. It was like 85, so I feel good drinking this one. So.
Yeah, no, the double IPAs are nice, but yeah, a few go a long way.
They do. They definitely do.
No, it's all good.
So, all right. We're doing our NFC East preview today. If it wasn't obvious, we're talking all NFC East right now. So how we do this show, Rudy, is we run through the different positions. I rattle off like kind of like the primary 80 players in their ADP, and then we get into some more specific questions. But first, there's a kind of a hot topic question that I'm going to surprise you with. Don't give this to anybody before they come on. And ours is, are the Cowboys handling Dak Prescott correctly? I mean, like, it's funny, like Richard Seville from Fantasy Six Pack on Slack the other day compared it to the Kirk Cousins situation. And I kind of was like, man, he's actually kind of right, I felt like. But what are your thoughts on it?
The last argument was like 4 or 5 years on the contract. So they could have, but like a 4-year contract would have seemed great to me if I was the Cowboys. It stinks that you're devoting that much of your salary cap to a quarterback that, you know, he's not in Mahomes category, but I think if you had to draft quarterbacks now, he's in the top six, probably. So 40 mil for that with the, you know, or 35, I would have just done it. The team's kind of still built for now. You still have that offensive line for maybe two more years. It seemed like the argument was four. You know, Prescott wanted 4 years, Cowboys wanted 5. I've been like, fine, I'll give you 4 years, and it's almost like you just would have been tendering the guy for 4 years. I think the Cowboys goofed on this. I mean, it's not maybe as egregious as signing Zeke on that contract. I don't know where they're going on here, because it's good. It's one thing if the team was on the way south. Tyron Smith was retiring as well with Travis Frederick, and they were going to go live off in some island. But I don't know what the Cowboys are doing.
Yeah, I don't feel like I ever know what Jerry Jones is doing, other than just being annoying. But yeah, I think this is a major miss for them. I don't know where else they're going to go or what quarterback they think they're going to be able to get if they're wanting to be competitive and win a Super Bowl, yet draft a number one guy overall. I mean, it doesn't work that way. So I just think that they screwed the pooch from the beginning on this. And yeah, I'd love to see Dak walk and just totally screw Jerry Jones over.
I'd be fine with it. I'm not a Cowboys fan, so there's one thing for sure. I won't be a Redskins fan. or Washington fan, whatever you want to say. But I will definitely not be an NFC East anything teams fan. Sorry, guys. That
we all agree the Cowboys suck.
Yes. So. Yeah, I think we're all good there. We got Giants.
We're all
Eagles
rooting against them. And yeah. So yeah, I think. Yeah, I'm not really sure what Jerry's thinking on this one. But maybe it's just they haven't been in quarterback hell for like 20 years. You know, or yeah. When, right. During the Romo time when he was healthy. So they never really felt how bad it is. And it's so bad that as long as you didn't have to sign like an 8-year contract. I mean, I don't see why.
They've gotten lucky with all the guys they've drafted too. I mean, like Dak wasn't an early pick or anything like that. So like it's kind of like
Dak was a completely lucky pick. I mean, they wanted Connor Cook. I mean, they just fell in it. And also, it's hard not to look past, like, he's been so underpaid
for
his time there. It's like, I can't imagine Cowboy fans are playing, like, the four-dimensional chess and saying, well, you know, like, it's look at what happened in Green Bay, you know, and... Yeah, and it's not like Green Bay's even been that. Like the Rodgers deal would probably be close to like, you know, oh, that it would stink to have a mediocre quarterback. No, sorry for Rodgers fans, but let's say he's kind of more of a league average quarterback than people admit.
Yeah,
still hasn't been that awful for Green Bay, and Prescott's like 10 years younger.
Yeah, well, I agree.
The other thing, the other thing, real quick too, it's like. If they are thinking of trying to draft somebody even as early as next year as a potential replacement, say they do give Dak the Cousins treatment for franchise tagging him for the next few years and then just making, you know, losing a ton of money that way, who are they going to draft next year? I mean, college football is basically, if they're even playing, they're playing in division games only. So it's not going to be like you're getting the full season out of these guys that you might be looking at anyway. So, you know, I mean, you still should be able to get some gauge on some of them, but I just think it's now is not the time to be waffling on who you want as your quarterback.
Agreed. All right, well, let's move on here. Let's get into the fantasy stuff here. Start with quarterbacks here. So as expected, Dak Prescott here, the ADP of quarterback 3. Carson Wentz is 12, Daniel Jones is 15, and Dwayne Haskins, bottom of the barrel, number 32. Start off with Dak. Let's just continue the season, the talk about Dak here. So, had a great 2019. He actually finished as QB2, but QB3 on a point per game basis. You know, after Hopkins was traded to Houston from Houston, and you know, the Cowboys drafted Lamb, he climbed back. He was down at like 5 or 6 ADP, Dak was. And then after all that kind of happened, he like climbed up to number 3. I mean, should we be drafting him ahead of guys like Wilson, even, you know, Watson, you know, those guys, or, you know, or is this kind of where he should fit? What do you think, Rudy?
I mean, the quarterbacks get so close up there. I mean, I have him 8th right now. The difference is pretty minor. There's a 20 point difference between who I have third, Kyler Murray, and Prescott. So I have no problem taking him third. And I probably would if I was doing the draft, I would take him probably 6th right now. He's got a high floor. I think last year, there's some regression probably to be had, but I think he's a solid pick. I mean, he was going late first round in Scott Fishbowl, and I can't really argue with it.
It's just a flex aspect of it. Huge.
If that's how you want it, I mean, especially because what ends up happening is you look at it and you're like, yeah, if you're going to be picking late third round, it starts getting pretty unpredictable on what's going to come back to you if you have a massive quarterback run. So in a league like that, I get it. In a regular league, I'm probably looking in that grouping, looking who I can get cheapest.
Me too.
I mean, even at Superflex, I mean, you need two quarterbacks. I'd look at the scoring, but I don't I'm not paying for Prescott at three. I guess that'd be the easiest way of putting it, but I'm not like saying it's an awful value.
Yeah, I mean, Scott Fishbowl was a different beast with all the different negative points towards quarterback. You kind of wanted that safe quarterback, and Dak was 100% it. So he was, in my opinion, like third or fourth on the board for quarterbacks from Scott Fishbowl, right behind Lamar and Mahomes. I'm with you though. His floor is high no matter what format you're playing in. And that's reassuring to people who are drafting him, but I think he's not going to finish there at the end of the year. But taking him at three isn't going to kill you either. So you're fine. I don't know, AJ, you got anything else to add to that?
No, I think we've spent enough time on Dak. So moving on to the Giants here, we got Mr. Danny Dimes. Had a pretty successful rookie season. It's surprising to very many, some people, I feel like, but I mean, do you think he can build upon that, or have we already seen his ceiling?
I was surprised with Daniel Jones. I think right now, I mean, where he's priced, I think he's like 14 or 15. I love his upside as a fantasy play. So I have him as my QB2 in Scott Fishbowl. I got a decent price on him. I was kind of happy to take my Giant. Right now, I'm not really worried about the fumbles. The turnovers, yes, but he's got a lot of, I like him in fantasy there. I'm not really one who wants to play it safe, especially with, so I think I wouldn't even, in like a one QB league, I wouldn't mind having him, if I get, assuming I'm getting him like extremely late and just rolling the dice and hoping you get one of those years, he gets 400 yards rushing, steals a few touchdowns there, and the game script is going to play in his favor.
Yeah.
So I like that part too. In the real world, it's tough to say. He was better than I thought he'd be year one. We'll see. Year two will be pretty telling. Fingers crossed.
I think volume for him is going to be key. Like you said, the game script's going to be great. So, he'll rack up some garbage points at the very least for you. So he's not going to finish any worse than 15. So, he could easily fall into that QB1 territory for me. His floor is not great either. I feel like it could bottom out real bad for you. So that's why I would hesitate to draft him as like, in standard leagues. But super flex, absolutely. He's a phenomenal QB2. So, yeah. Moving on here to the Eagles. Carson Wentz finally had a healthy season after two injury-plagued ones. The rest of his team, on the other hand, was not. I mean, it was bad for them. Like, he was playing with garbage men as his receivers at the end of the year. Are we not giving enough credit to Carson Wentz? He threw over 4,000 yards and 27 touchdowns, yet he's going QB12 right now. I feel like that's super underrated.
He was my first. Somehow I drafted every NFC East quarterback except for Prescott in mine. So I got him like the eighth pick in the third round. The 27 touchdowns last year does jump out for a team that had really nothing at wide receiver. I don't think that's, I mean, we'll see how it goes this year, and we'll talk about, I guess, about their wide receivers in a bit. I think Wentz has his floor is if he gets hurt, but for him to put up those numbers last year is pretty impressive, because it wasn't even like game script driven. I mean, he was pretty efficient. I like him a lot. I mean, I don't think he's, I'd move him up. I have him at like 10, not like tremendously different. But it's the kind where getting him as your 12th quarterback, if it saves you a round or two in the draft, is great. And it, in a league with QB with one quarterback, you get into a situation where it's like people fight over Lamar Jackson and Mahomes. If I can come out of it and draft Wentz and Daniel Jones late and kind of something like that, I'm kind of a happy camper.
one.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that one. I've got him at 9. Actually, no, I've got him at 8. So I've got our staff has him at 9 overall, but it's anywhere between 8. I'm the highest. 11's the lowest. So we're all above the ADP on our on fantasy six packs. So yeah, he's a little underrated right now. So I feel like in drafts that are a little savvier, he's not going to fall that far. We're going to see the ADP climb. But AJ, yeah. you're the Philly boy.
It's President Eagle. Yeah, I mean it's tough to try to gauge Wentz because he has missed time with injury, and it's hurt the team. But last year was really, I don't want to say out of character, because I think the talent has always been there. Just a matter of him being able to be on the field. If you look at his year in 2016, he played 16 games then. That was the only other season. Well, he's only had 4 seasons, but bookends both of his 16 game seasons here. So his completion percentage was a little bit down from last year compared to there. He had the exact same amount of attempts at 607. But he was about 300, little less than 300 yards shy, yardage wise, and off by about 11 touchdowns, but double the interceptions. So he was a lot more efficient last year, and I think he had to be because he was running all over the place. He had nobody to throw the damn ball to. It was like a UPS driver and the guy selling donuts. In the jail at the old vet. So it's very surprising to see what he did with what he had to me. I'd love to see it again. I'm just not 100% optimistic about him playing 16 games again. So we'll see.
I will say looking at the stat line, the yards per attempt is pretty feeble at 6.7. You wonder. Yeah. I mean, I felt like when DeSean Jackson went down in game 2, was it? Because he had didn't he have an amazing game 1?
Yeah, his game 1 was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that was DeSean Jackson's been an incredible. I mean, one of the best in terms of basically deep threat, huge yards per target, and it basically helps the whole team. Yep. Him going down, you just knew it was like that's gonna. It didn't show in the touchdowns. It shows in the yards per attempt. They couldn't stretch the field at all. You're just stuck in that mid-range and just nothing threatening to the team. I think they drafted a couple of guys. I mean, Rieger is the headliner. Mm-hmm. But then I think they drafted late, like, 2 other guys that could be, like, potential deep threats to avoid that type of situation. So I think that it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the first game or two. But I see some upside there in the yards per attempt just because they'll have something, not just at wide receiver, but deep threat wide receiver to stretch the field.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with Alshon. We'll talk about him later and, all of these receivers. But yeah, John Hightower. John Hightower and Quez Watkins are the two of the other rookies that they got. So,
and hey, J. Jaws.
Yeah,
it could be something. We'll see.
Pan out. So. You really need a big red zone threat when you've got two good tight ends.
Yeah. So, all right, well, moving back to that team down the way from me and Joe here in the D.C. We're hearing a lot of chatter that Haskins can be this dark horse QB this year. What do you think about Haskins?
Jerry, you want to take that one?
No.
You
can go first. That's all you.
If you really want to know my opinion on him, I hated the draft pick, so I don't like him at all. But I don't know. I'm hearing a lot of things like Haskins is going to be, a good QB streamer this year. Like, I just hear all this, good talk about it. Like, he's going to take the next big step. It's like, how, why? I don't know. I'm just, if anybody else thinks that comes on the show, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't a lot to love last year. I think I'm willing to give, a pass only because Goff and Wentz had some pretty mediocre stats their first year. That the second year is really the big leap. And except for Darnold, where as long as mono exclusions here, I mean, I think you will see something better out of Haskins. I mean, the O line's deteriorated. I mean, so yeah, I think is it the guard is now out. Scherf, Scharf, what's
Scherf?
Yeah,
I think it's that. It's yeah,
so, it. Yeah, so you've got. I mean, a bad O line's not going to be great. I mean, where he is at 30. I took him as a QB3 in the Scott Fishbowl in like the 10th round, probably because I'm still scarred from having Darnold last year and having to deal with the quarterback fiascos. But light streamer. I mean, he's just not relevant for the vast majority of leagues this year. But if you're playing DFS, there's definitely going to probably if I play DFS every week, I'm sure I would start Haskins at least once in some type of Redskins stack where they're ten point underdog. So something could happen. I mean, it just wasn't a very good team around him. Aside from McLaurin and a little bit of Sims. So
it's not going to get much better, unfortunately. The team's pretty garbage. So, and with everything going on, I don't really see how anybody's motivated to play for that team. So. We'll see what happens. So AJ had to go take care of something real quick, unfortunately. So it's all me right now. So he should be back soon. But let's jump over to running backs here. So ADP here, we've got two top dogs, Saquon Barkley 2, Ezekiel Elliott 3, Miles Sanders at 12, Darius Geis at 27, Tony Pollard 47, Adrian Peterson 51, Boston Scott 55. I could have gone a little deeper, but... after that, it's just kind of like whatever.
Dion Lewis is really a dark horse this year.
All right. Sorry. Let's start with these top two here. I'm going to lump them together. Barkley and Zeke, right? So who are you? All right. Well, so first off, who are you choosing to be number two and why?
I'm taking Barkley. I mean, last year had its
Homer.
Issues. I mean, the thing was, the thing with Barkley is, I think Barkley's got the higher ceiling. I don't think I'm kind of like out of line on that one.
Nope.
If you had to say like 50th percentile, I don't think there's much difference than them. Is that what we saw from Barkley? Maybe the last 2 weeks of last year, but definitely in his first year, is that like he's got crazy potential. I don't think Shermer was using him very well. And it'll be interesting to see Barkley in Jason Garrett's system, which has generally been quite good for running backs. As a fellow NFC East fan, or at least you were one, the amount of well-executed screens that came out of Dallas. I mean, maybe a few too many for my liking, but I feel like the Giants never figured out Barkley in the passing game. He's been like 6 yards per target. He should be like at 7. Why he isn't rolled out and basically thrown out on the sideline, where he's a complete mismatch for anyone that's going to guard him, beats me. So I'm buying Barkley on the ceiling. I think Zeke, we've seen the best of what Zeke's going to do.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, are you worried at all about the fact that, like, you know, he had the ankle problems and like those can kind of come back to haunt you?
I could see if you really wanted to be safe that, you know, Zeke's got a little bit, he's got a better offensive line. I think the offensive line in Dallas is pretty fragile right now.
Definitely not as good as it was like 2 years ago, but it's still better.
And they've got a lot of weapons there. I don't know. I'm not super worried on the ankle and everything like that. Like I said, I think, you've just got to think you're trying to win. I'd want to get the guy with the higher ceiling. That's just kind of my focus this year, is that it's like when in doubt, you've got to go kind of bigger. And yeah, and it's the upside potential of the new offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Which I mean, it's ridiculous getting any optimism for having Jason Garrett, but they just never figured out. I mean, like there were some, and it was probably a combination of that and Eli. I don't know, but the passing game had some. It is pretty frustrating they didn't figure out Barkley to his fullest extent. I have a feeling maybe. Just hopeful that this year it is that we're going to see a few more 50-yard screen passes, or a screen pass that goes 50 yards and that kind of thing. So, I'm going Barkley at two. I'd still take McCaffrey there in a heartbeat. But
that one. Yeah, that was my next question. Was do either one of these get considered number one, or is it just a no-brainer CMC?
I mean, he's got. I mean, his target level is insane, and he's been a yard better. Per target than Saquon Barkley's to the point. I mean, 7 yards per target on a running back where you're getting like it's extremely safe play. So it's a real high floor in terms of completion. Mm-hmm. And he did it with absolute garbage as quarterback last year, McCaffrey.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would consider them pretty similar on the running. If I had to use just on running, I'd probably take Barkley. But the passing game of McCaffrey right now, Barkley hasn't proven it yet that he could do 120 targets and do it with the effectiveness that McCaffrey has.
Yeah, I agree. So off to the next guy here. We'll go over to the Eagles. Miles Sanders, the last 6 weeks of 2019, he was RB8. Now, that probably has a lot to do with the fact that all the weapons were gone at that point. It was him and Boston Scott, and Boston Scott kind of came out of nowhere to do this. Right now he's the primary back in Philly. Even with Scott there, you know, he's supposed to get the vast majority of all the touches. You know, his ADP not higher than 12 because people are afraid that Philly will go sign somebody, or is there something else that we're not catching here?
I'm not getting it. I'm not super worried they're going to sign someone. I mean, they might, but I'm just not. It's just not a big factor for me. I don't see, and I mean, AJ could disagree. I don't think Boston Scott is really a major variable here. I think people read into too much when a coach's track record on using committees versus not. I don't see any reason why Miles Sanders doesn't get strong usage here. I have him at 10 for like half PPR, so mildly better. I like his ceiling a ton. I mean, if everything works out right, it's great. I think if there's anything, it does seem, and maybe I'm biased because of last year, the Eagles don't get a ton of rushing touchdowns. That they tend to skew a little bit more toward pass touchdowns, which might have, but the thing is, I don't have to worry about who's coming in to inside the five. I'm not worried about Boston Scott poaching the rushes. I guess it's this feeling that somehow they're gonna get like another running back, but it would be dumb in my case.
Keep hearing like Devonta Freeman's name tossed in there, which just seems crazy. Like, I'm really worried about Devonta Freeman.
I mean, I think the one thing you can say there is that it's like, you know, there's certain teams like San Francisco that seems to just be able to manufacture running back depth. The Eagles had some really good depth there for a while. It does feel like Corey Clement is not gonna get a ton of time. I don't know what quite happened to him, that he fell off the map. But doesn't seem like it's the deepest running back chart. So them signing a guy like Freeman or another like vet, not out of the question. But I still don't see. I see that more for depth than really like impacting Sanders.
I would hope so, but I don't know. AJ, you're back, so you got any take on Sanders here? This was supposed to be your question, but...
Yeah, we were actually just discussing. I knew it was coming up, and I was trying to get some intel beforehand.
Your phone buzzing.
My brief absence, yes.
AJ Adam Schefter.
Yes, exactly. I agree. I think Sanders should be the guy here. Boston Scott came on really strong at the end there. And again, I think a lot of that came more with him getting, you know, short little swing passes and everything like that from Wentz, and then him just being out in open space and being able to do something with it. You know, he's like almost like an adrenaline rush every game. Like, oh, I got the ball. All right, I'm going to do something. All right, boom. And then he's gone for 35 yards. I mean, I love the guy. I thought he's like a new age Darren Sproles, really. And Clement, Clement's kind of their bigger guy. I feel like he did fall out of favor with them for some reason. I don't really know if it was just lack of production or if because of Boston Scott's emergence, they just decided, well, we don't really need Clement as much. So we're going to just kind of let it ride and see what we have with these other guys. With Jordan Howard out of the picture completely now and Sanders not having to look over his shoulder for him, you know, I don't think he's worried about Boston Scott or Corey Clement or Elijah Holyfield to, you know, a lesser, much lesser extent. I wouldn't be surprised if they did sign somebody, but I don't know if they need to. I think they've got enough there to at least see what they can do.
Yeah, I agree. AJ, you want to take these last two since you missed it?
So we got Mr. Darius Geis that he proved last year when he was healthy. He can actually be a pretty special player. Obviously, the key there is health. So with an RB27 ADP, is that low enough for you to take a chance on him, Rudy?
It's a range where I really like the running backs. And it makes me want to go with a modified zero RB strategy. I really like the price on Ronald Jones. I have both of them in that 26 to 28 range for me. The challenge is when you're looking at something like that, if I could get Jones a round or two cheaper, I'll go there. I mean, the injuries are a concern. I like Jonathan Taylor's potential upside, although I think he's going to go a little pricier as the year goes on, as things go on. Even like Kerryon Johnson, although again, I'd want to pay a little less there. I'd run it on Geis. I mean, I think it's a, you know, you wouldn't want him as your RB1 per se, but
right.
And the reality is in something like that, depending on the league, I don't know how much you can really cuff that. Like, I don't want any shares of Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where, like, you, basically, the Rasha ends up with Adrian Peterson to probably not win in the league. It's hard to say, like, who you'd want to pair with guys. I mean, you certainly wouldn't want to pair him with, let's say, like, James Conner. Even a guy like Chris Carson with the hip, I don't know if you want to do. So part of it gets into the roster construction. I could see certain being at a certain point in the draft, you've already drafted a guy like Conner, where it's like you can't go Geis. What do you think on him?
So I'll take this. So my thought on Geis is I love the talent. I'm like all the muscle injuries that he's had, right? All the soft tissue injuries is what I meant to say. That scares me to death. Like I played sports nearly to the level of these guys, but like I played a lot of sports. I pulled hamstrings. I did all that kind of stuff, and I didn't tear ACLs and things like that. But like, those things always come back, man. Like, I just feel like they come back to haunt you. So hopefully, things like you know MCLs and things like that, you know, he can just get the surgery and be done with it. But like, he just feels like he's always nicked up too. Like, I don't know. He does scare me, but at an RB3 price, like if I can get him as my third running back, I'd be down for it. Like if I can get two good, safer running backs that I feel really good on, I'm fine taking a chance on Geis, because honestly, if he does play the whole season at an RB27 ADP, he's probably winning you the league. Like, yeah, he's so good and so talented. He's just a beast. Like he fell in the NFL draft and he shouldn't have
for, you know, character issues or whatever it was. But, like, honestly, the guy's been nothing but awesome for this organization. Everything he says and does, like, he just feels like he's a cool guy. He just wants to play. I don't know the whole backstory of what happened at LSU, but
they're disappointed in his character. Actually, they drafted. They were going to trade up for him with these character issues.
You're funny. Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute, where are you going with this?
Like, well, he used to fit in.
Yeah, we got.
You're not really Red Tails material.
Oh, man, he's just gonna like just. Stick the knife in deeper, man. Come on. Kick me when I'm down. I like it. If I haven't had a chance to take him in any of the drafts I've done so far, but it's just kind of how my drafts go. I tend to go a little bit running back heavy early, and then I'm kind of at the point that Geis is going, I'm taking receivers at that point. But I guarantee there's going to be a league where I'm just going to be like, screw it, I'm taking him anyway. Just because I gotta have a share of him somewhere. He's so talented.
I'd much rather take a chance on the injury guy. I'd much rather take a chance on him than like Gurley at his ADP.
Yeah, 100%. Or even like, I mean, you mentioned Kerryon. Like, I kind of want nothing to do with Kerryon. Like, even when he's on the field, it's just kind of blah. Like,
it's more of those at his prime. I mean, I think he's like 11th or 12th round. So it's like
true.
There's a certain point where I've gotten all the wide receivers I could stand, and then there's still some hot, you know, some good flyers I want to take. So I think it really appeals if your strategy is like, don't take a running back in the first four rounds.
Yeah.
All right. So the last question we got here is, who is the best handcuff / later drafted running back? Are you looking at Pollard, AP, Scott, or somebody else?
To me, it's like Pollard, no doubt. From what I've seen on him, I think if Elliott got injured for a stretch, you know, Pollard's a top 20 running back easy for that week. And, you know, upside of maybe like 15. I'm not sold that Boston Scott does much if he gets the role, that he'd be in a share. I'm going Pollard there.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
Yeah, I agree. He's not cheap. It's an expensive cuff. It's a French cuff.
Yes.
All right.
Should we move into our final winner here, Joe?
Yeah, man. So, Rudy, you're here for the fourth and final week of our footballguys.com subscription giveaway. We had a contest on Twitter this week for... Give us your new Washington team name. We didn't pick our favorite. We just picked a random winner. This one, 100%. No, sorry to the winner. Would not have been my winner if I had picked my favorite. But they picked Pigskins. No thanks. I get it. It's Ken Hamilton at Yamato Forever. So. Ken, I will be DMing you through Twitter later tonight or maybe tomorrow. I got to get your email and pass it on to them, and then they will set you up with an account. So congrats. We've given away four. That's it for the giveaways. So hopefully we'll get something shortly here to give away on the show to continue this. I had fun doing it. So, all right, let's move on to receiver here. ADP here. We got Amari Cooper leading the way at wide receiver 9. McLaurin, it's a big drop here. McLaurin 27, Gallup 30, Slayton at 38, Lamb at 43, Shepard at 45, Alshon, who's already done, basically, dude. He's going to start the year on the pup, probably. 48. I made these notes a couple days ago, so that was before the news dropped. But these Eagles will change 100% now. But Rager at 55, D-Jax at 59. So I want to start with Amari, and I'm not going to say anything because I think everybody who's listening should know how I feel about Cooper. ADP at 9 feels a little high for me. What's your feeling on him at that draft cost?
I mean, it's too expensive for me. I have him at like 15 right now. His floor is awful in a given week.
Yes.
I mean, it's obviously no secret that he has some really crazy high games and then low. It's I mean, for the year on a per game basis, his target rate wasn't much different than Michael Gallup's. I think Cooper is quite good. I mean, like I said, he's wide receiver 15. He just always seems a little higher drafted than I'd like. I don't envision having him on any of my teams this year.
Dude, you and me both, man. That's exactly, his consistency just kills me. I don't know, AJ, there's probably not much to add here. I feel like we have talked about Cooper to death on the show, and it's kind of the same. Nothing's really changed. But my second part to this is, am I weird for much rather having Gallup at 30?
I feel like Gallup's price is kind of snuck up to the point where it's like, yeah, he's a fine price. He's fine at 30. I would rather have Gallup at 30 than – I'd rather have him at an ADP than Cooper for sure.
Yeah, not to give it away too much, but my upcoming was originally due today and will be probably finished today, posting tomorrow. Wide receiver depth chart for Fantasy Six Pack.
So you tell me you're late.
Did you not already realize this? I mean, come on. I will be having Gallup in the higher tier of the depth chart over Cooper. And once the listeners get out there and see the depth chart tomorrow, you'll kind of see how I did that and why, I guess. But overall, I think he deserves to be. I think he's Cooper has great games, but even 2 years ago, I guess, when he just torched the Eagles, some of it was just really late, lucky crap that got him in position and got him in the end zone and it just blew up the stat sheet. And it's like, oh man, this guy's great. No, he had some really good luck in this game, and then as well as some others, but. All right, so going back to Sausage Egg McLaurin here, you know, what he did in his rookie season was pretty fantastic, despite having subpar QB play. If we think Haskins can improve at all, which is, you know, not too difficult compared to where he is, what do you think we can expect from McLaurin for 2020?
It broke my heart. I didn't get him in the Scott Fishbowl. I was just in a bad position where I'd either take him at in the early round, which would have been way ahead of, or, you know, a 50-50 shot. He made it back to me and he didn't. I have him as WR7 right now. It's Whoa. Extremely high.
yes.
Yeah. So. No, I'm way ahead on him. So, I mean, I think he's a fantastic buy. You know, and it's right now it's a game of me just getting a better feel for ADP in leagues. You know, and there's some really good wide receivers, but like fifth, sixth round, I'd say he's going to be a consistent target for me. He was near 100th percentile in percent of throws, 20 plus yards. And he did well on those. He didn't do great. But so much of a guy's production is like, are you getting the volume, and is that volume valuable? You know, if you're getting 5 yard passes and you're not getting it in the right position, it's not very valuable. So I still see that he's right now easily the one you'd project as the target leader on that team. Mm-hmm. He's going to get valuable targets. You've gutted the tight ends. So there's not even like anyone that jumps out as a red zone threat. So I think I'd look at his year as potential for something like Allen Robinson last year. You know, similar quarterback play, you could argue. You know, maybe he's doing a little more damage downfield and a few less targets. But I mean, the upside's huge. He grades out extremely well in things like Pro Football Focus. And it probably doesn't hurt that, Harmon's out for the year now.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you have Jeremy Sprinkle as tight end, which is just so hilarious. I mean, you got to get like Xavier
Thaddeus Moss, man.
in there as well for like.
Who's
the
our Hokie, AJ?
Logan Thomas, baby.
Logan Thomas.
Oh yeah, Logan Thomas.
He was gonna be one of my last picks in Scott Fish, and I was like, I can get him on waivers.
Yes, for free.
So while it's probably overstated the whole connection of Haskins and McLaurin in college.
Absolutely.
The fact that they're gonna have this shorter camp, and there's none of the other outside wide receivers he has any rapport with. He might have had some with Harmon, and he's out. And guys like Gandy Golden and Cam Sims. I mean, they're not serious threats for targets.
I mean, Steven Sims was decent, and I said
Cam Sims, yes, but.
Oh.
Steven Sims looks nice, but he's a slot guy. I mean, give him just like the guy, he'll eat just like a Randall Cobb or a Cole Beasley would. But it's like you're still looking at 110, 120 targets for McLaurin. And I mean, he had a yards per target north of 9 last year. I mean,
yeah, he's nice. I do like him. I don't like him as much as you do, but that's.
Well, the good thing is,
you are the high. I just looked it up.
You are the high on that. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see where I end up with them. I got to start playing safer, I think, on my season long rankings. I'll be ahead of the curve for at least first 3 or 4 weeks of the season until everyone catches up.
Kind of excites me to hear that. I do like Tara, dude. I didn't love the pick when we picked him. I was like, oh man, we just got like a deep dude, like whatever. Seemed like a gadget play. And then like the first few games, I was like, holy smokes, this dude's like for real. But let's move on here. AJ, I took this question because I didn't want to have you have to ask it, but the Eagles. I mean, they're anybody on this roster that you want to draft in redraft leagues?
I'll chime in. All of them.
For wide receiver,
yeah.
We're talking.
Yes.
Alshon Jeffrey, obviously. We don't have to kind of kick dirt on him. As a whole, if somehow I could just buy like some conglomerate of the Eagles wide receivers this year, it'd be a slight buy because they're all stupid cheap. So if I can get like their WR1, that would be a good buy. Dalen Reagor, I'm a Longhorn fan out here. He looked really good for at times at TCU. He kind of, I think, had a quiet year last year. And you still have those two tight ends soaking up so much targets. So I had Wentz, and I would have liked an Eagles quarterback to stack with him, and I couldn't justify Reagor going where he was because there's a bunch of guys that are going around there that I prefer. Because it's not even just – I mean, I have him – like the WR, what, 55? Sure. It's not a bad price. But when you get down to it, it's like when he's going off the board, there's always someone else you like better. It gets tough. So there's always that opportunity cost. So I don't see it. It'd be interesting, AJ, if you've seen anything different. I'm sure you've probably looked at him a little closer, how he might fit in that system.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I was looking, I was on our show we did for the draft, the live show we did there when the Eagles were coming up, and it just seemed like Jefferson was the guy. And they kept even showing him on the phone talking to people, and then it shows over to Peterson, and I'm like, okay, well, here we go. And that's like Jalen Reagor, and I was like, what just happened?
See, that makes a little bit of sense, only because, you've got the tight ends clogging up the middle, and that's Jefferson's, that's where he's going out. Now whether Reagor is a true outside wide receiver, I think, is another question. It's like, it's really hard to know when, no one obviously saw it with McLaurin.
Yeah.
Rieger's not that tall. What's his
5'11", 206. So, he's not
not huge by any means, but I mean, he's got speed. So I think he's an upgrade to, you know, what we have there, which isn't really hard to do. But I love Alshon. You know, I hope he gets healthy and can produce and play. You know, Deshaun is in the doghouse a bit, but, you know, he can still put those games together. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do. I just hope they can stay healthy. That's about it.
Yeah. You know, Rudy, you keep kind of saying something, and I want to ask you about this kind of sidebar. You keep talking about, like, the rookies in the offseason and things like that. Are you downgrading some of the rookies because of the lack of an offseason?
I think I'm already a little bearish on rookies to begin with. You know, so I think there's what I've seen with the running backs in particular is just like the rookies get like this benefit of the doubt that they're going to win the job. Yeah. And then the second year guy that had to pay his lumps and then came on in the second half is still kind of beat up as terms of saying, oh, he can't take the job. He needs to share it. Like that'd be Miles Sanders, Singletary, Montgomery, you know, all the guys that followed the norm, which would be, you know, and so like the rookies, like it's hard to count on them the first 6-7 weeks that you're going to, you know, get them in positions to succeed, you know. I'd say even this year, especially, you're going to, the playbook's going to be real, the functional playbook for rookies is going to be really small. You know, you'd think like a guy like Rieger, it's like, you know, whether it be like a wide receiver screen pass designed for him, certain things are going to be designed for him. But you're banking on somehow a second half really coming, panning out. I mean, even we had, you know, Pat Fitzmaurice, who's like a big Wisconsin fan, was standing on a, we had like this video thing that, and he was in on Jonathan Taylor. And it changed my mind a bit. I moved him up a bit. As much as kind of basically downgrading Marlon Mack and factoring in their capital. But even like a Jonathan Taylor, like you're not buying him for weeks 1 to 6. You're hoping that he has a Miles Sanders end to the season and helps you win the playoffs.
Yes.
So as long as you're factoring that stuff in, it's fine. But this year especially, it's tougher. And for what, you know, so the running back is really about this volume. Chemistry isn't the factor. It's just, will they, you know, will they get the rushing volume? Can they play in the passing game, which would be a slight with Jonathan Taylor. On the wide receiver side, it's really just like this guessing game on targets. And so, yeah, I look at the Eagles and be like, I don't know. Grieger, he'll get a good amount of snaps. He'll get decent targets. He won't get like the shame treatment that there's certain guys, like Sammy Watkins on KC, where it's just like you look at the targets and the snaps, and it's like so pathetic some weeks. I don't think Grieger will get that type of treatment. But those tight ends are going to still soak up a lot. And it could really be like betting that, like, it's the wide receiver one could change every week on Philly. Like, if you had, like, it'd probably be like the bet I would take is that, like, no wide receiver on their team has more than like five or six number one weeks on their team. That, like, if Jeffrey could play, he'll get a few.
Touchdown.
Rieger will have like a couple breakout games. You know, Jackson, if he stays healthy, he'll have at least one or two of those games where he goes off. Maybe even one of the other guys. Like, can Mac Hollins? I don't know.
Hollins isn't even there anymore.
He's not there anymore.
No, he's up in Miami.
I'm not going to bet on the JJ AW. No.
Everybody loved him last year, though. I was one of them, dude. It didn't work.
I don't know. And the tall.
He looked lost.
Just don't do it. Like, it's crazy, especially with the way things now. Like, it isn't that hard to scheme a touchdown for your wide receiver. He doesn't have to be 6'5". Julio's done everything except score touchdowns for 5 years, and he's like 6'6". But yet, there's still that sad allure. It's kind of just like Jerry Reese's still like it getting into fantasy drafts so you could draft a 220-pound tight end. Everyone has their crush.
Exactly. All right, let's finish things out here with the G-Men. Darius Slayton was the go-to guy in 2019 for the Giants, but with Shepard and Engram back healthy, should Slayton still be the guy, or should Danny Jones shift his focus elsewhere?
I think Slayton's being overdrafted now. I want to say it's one of those things where like a lot of people are saying it. You want to say, oh, the consensus is he's being overdrafted, but that doesn't make any sense because then he'd be drafted at the someone's drafting him there. So maybe all 11 other owners are like, that was a dumb move. So Slayton's got the best upside in this group, and that's like. He has a set role because he's the only guy who's really a true deep threat on that team. Shepard and Tate are really going to play in that medium area. So is Engram. So there's the sense that maybe I think he'll have like some really good games. I'd like him in best ball better, but I think his week to week floor is really dependent on at least one of those three guys between Tate, Shepard, and Engram getting hurt. Ideally two. Now the odds on that based on history aren't too bad, but I have Slayton right now at 57. So I have him like 20 spots, 18 spots below where he's going. I'd rather have Tate and Shepard at those prices. And of the three, I'd want to have Tate because Shepard's concussions are scary in all senses. It really freaks me out when a guy gets like more than one concussion in a year, and just kind of imagining that hellscape. I think we've seen what he can do. He's like a professional wide receiver. It's like a weird damning praise. Like he's very good at what he does. He's got a low ceiling.
Danny Amendola. a little bit better, but maybe.
And there could be that one year where it really comes together. But in my eyes, I think Tate is a step above him. You don't have to worry about the health. And Tate had that one weird year when he didn't fit in at all in Philadelphia. I don't know what quite happened there. I don't think Wentz could see him from like his mount.
Yeah.
His like head 20 feet off the ground. Tate was really good last year in a point per basis. So I was really frustrated I missed out on him on like a turn. So I didn't get any stacks. I could add a Jones Tate stack. Tate will probably be the only guy I would draft in here. Shepard, low ceiling injuries. Slayton high ceiling, but I think the floor is, I'd say like week one, Slayton's unstartable. So do you really want to draft a guy at in the 10th round that kind of unstartable week one?
No, I agree with you. I'm not really targeting any of these giant receivers. I did take Shepard in my Scott Fishbowl league, but he fell to like almost wide receiver 50, and I was like, I need somebody kind of safe. And you know,
yeah,
he's not super safe because you're right, the injury's there. But I was like, when he's on the field, he's gonna be good. So like in that kind of format, I'm gonna have enough depth that I can feel like I can plug somebody in on the weeks he's hurt. Hopefully he stays healthy, but when he's healthy, he's gonna be good. So that was kind of my hope there. So let's finish up things here with tight end. So ADP, rip through it. So here we got Zach Ertz at 4, Evan Engram at 7, Goddard at 16, and Blake Jarwin at 21. Sorry, AJ.
You wanted to say Jar Jar Blake or something.
I was just going to say Jarwin, and then I was like, maybe I should say his first name. Because in my notes, I make these real quick, and I start writing last names and realize I should probably say first names on the show, but I don't sometimes. It is what it is. Anyway, so start with the Eagles here. Zach Ertz, you know, seems like there's a lot of talk, and there was a little bit last year. You know, there's all the decline. Goddard's coming. It's building up more this year, and the Goddard was good last year, not going to lie. But granted, that was a lot. I think a lot of that was because they had no other receivers, and they still kind of don't. So maybe they could both finish top 10 again. But, I mean, Ertz is still tight end four. I mean, is that too high given that, you know, we're seeing a gradual decline from him?
It's, I mean, right now I have him at like three. It's kind of a coin flip there. And I wouldn't be surprised if he falls to four. Like, so the price is right. I think the ceiling's really low. And so the question is, you're going to take how many low ceiling guys do you want to draft on a team? And in a 12 team league, it's like, I get it. You want to have maybe one or two in like a Scott Fishbowl format. I don't see why you want to have any, that guy that you, the ceiling doesn't, isn't exciting. So I can't see drafting Ertz in any team. I don't, fully buy that narrative that somehow he's going to fall off and Goddard's going to, you know, I mean, I think some of Goddard's success has to be because Ertz is commanding double teams and stuff like that. But I can't buy in on Goddard because I think there's enough tight ends that I don't know if I really want a guy who's a clear number two on his team. It's the confusion. It basically on both of them. Just I get it. And I in a weekly ranking setup, it could be really dynamic. I'd rather it, but both their ceilings look kind of cloudy to me. So easy to pass.
I'm with you on that one. I do fade the Eagles tight ends because it's just a mind fuck in my head. I just don't know what to think about it. So yeah. AJ, what do you got there with this?
I mean, one week, it's going to be, well, more weeks than not, it would be Ertz over Goddard. Right. But Goddard's still going to have those weeks where he just blows through and he's the number one guy that week. So, I think it's going to be more of the same this year. I mean, that's the way their offense is set up. They like to dish it around and share the ball. So I think it's going to stay that way this year. I don't see a reason to change it.
And tight ends will be very heavily used, so at least there's that.
Yeah. So all right, back to the Giants here. Ingram has obviously not been a pillar of health, but when he's been on the field, he's been pretty great. Do you want to take a chance of him this season, or are you, worried about where he is with his current ADP?
I just think where he's going, I'd rather a wide receiver. It's less about where he is as a tight end. I think priced at six makes sense. And maybe it's the same with Ertz, that it just gets in. I'd rather have a running back or wide receiver at that part of the draft. There's not like another tight end I want more right there. So either I've gotten, Kelce or Kittle, I guess heads up, I'd rather have Darren Waller.
Yeah, I mean, he's ranked higher for me. So
they're about,
they're close.
They're close
I've actually got Ingram seven. He's just one of those guys where, again, you're right. Like, I'd rather have some of the other players that are there, receiver or running back, depending on how your draft's gone. And then there's a bunch of tight ends behind him that I'm like, that intrigue me. And, we've gone through a bunch of them through our division previews. And we're going to get into more of them. And there's one in a couple of shows that we're going to get to that I absolutely have fallen in love with this offseason. But this is like those guys have less injury risk. Their ceilings are potentially higher, too. So I'm going for the. I usually go late with tight ends anyway, and then just if it misses, whatever, I'll figure something out later. I'll get somebody else that's just not going to kill me every week. So, I'm passing on Ingram most likely in every draft unless he slides a bunch. All right, last question we've got here is Dallas Cowboys. I'm hearing a lot of noise. The Blake Jarwin, Jar Jar. is that's his new nickname, by the way. Thank you for that one. is a big sleeper tight end, you know, especially with so many vacated targets in Dallas, you know, between Cobb leaving and Witten leaving. Do you believe that narrative?
I mean, I'm skeptical on vacated targets in general, especially when you've got two established wide receivers on the field and CeeDee Lamb, a pretty enticing wide receiver three. A ridiculous. I'm not happy they got him at all. So like him a lot. I like Jarwell. I mean, like it's an offense that has featured the tight end. He's obviously shown different skill set, or at least an expanded skill set than Jason Witten. So, you know, more than just boxing out people with your butt. I have Jarwin at like 15. Where he's going, where I can get him, I like him a lot. You know, like, but if it was like, but there's a few tight ends in that range I like. Herndon I like as well. Hockenson's kind of in that range. I could see taking, you know, his upside's pretty sexy.
Hockenson's going way earlier than him, it feels like, but he's being discussed.
Where I have him right. But okay. You're right. That would be a reason why I'd probably would end up with a Jarwin or a Herndon. Versus I think some of those other guys. I don't know if I buy the narrative in full. I just see it as like he's a tight end in a good offense without a guy that jumps out as like a red zone threat. I don't really see an established TE2 there that they've generally had. You've had Witten there for so long, but they've had some pretty strong TE2s along the way. So. I'd roll that. I think you're not getting the same ceiling. It's hard to see the same ceiling with him versus a Herndon. Like a Herndon, you're getting the an outside chance he ends up being like leading the team in receiving. As a Giant fan, I would love it if Blake Jarwin got points in receiving. It'd be wonderful.
That would be good.
You know, where if he's if yeah, but yeah, so. Yep, buying on. Yeah, I think out of this division, Jarwin would be the only one I could see coming out away with in drafts, and it could be like a 40-round draft, and I'd still like be debating between like Jeremy Sprinkle and the other options available. He got graded so bad. He wasn't bad in college, but it's like there's nothing worse than when you look at a guy in Pro Football Focus. You're like, it had happened like toward the end of the draft. I'm like. I know he's the starter. Just give me something to like about him. And then he got graded at like a 48 or something. I'm like,
nope.
Okay. Nope. Nope. I won't do it.
Don't blame me. Don't blame you. AJ, anything else to add there?
I'm not necessarily buying into the Blake Jarwin rage yet. Maybe I'll be behind the eight ball on that one, but I'm okay with that. I don't like owning Cowboys in fantasy.
And there you have it. Super expert analysis from AJ. I just don't buy Dallas players. I like it. No, just kidding. Rudy, that's all we got, man. Go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you on the internet and what you got in store for us over there at Razzball.
I'm at on Twitter at Rudy Gamble. Over at Razzball, I'm in charge of the projections, so we have weekly projections under very affordable subscription price this year. We also have DFS there as well, and doing that and baseball simultaneously. So I'll be a quite busy man. Come September.
You having fun with the 60 game projection for baseball?
Yeah, they're done. Yeah, it is. It is like, but it's more like having like what would be like this strong opinion for things. It's just hilarious. Like it's a tough thing. Like the deeper you get in that stuff, and you just like you just let the variance and luck do its thing. Like just like yeah, you know it's gonna be usually like. Maybe it's you 60-70% and luck 30%. Just going to be more luck this year. So it's like, see, it's just drafting accordingly and like not you know, so it's trying to stay mellow on those things and not get, but the thinking like this guy is perfectly set up for a 60 game season because he had a 60 game stretch a year ago. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like, I just can't, it's just making it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have, but yeah, so you could, but I'm on Twitter like a little too much and, but yeah, and there's, you can always comment on articles and stuff on Razzball.
That's good.
Got a really good team to handle things.
Yeah, another good. Donkey responded about your glasses on here.
I think I got Armani. I don't know what he's talking about.
Looking good, man.
Establish the run money? What are you talking about?
All right, man. So, yeah, that's all we got, man. Thanks for coming on. We'll have to do this again, man.
Right on. Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Night.
Thanks. Yeah. Have a good one.
Hi, AJ. That's all I got for the show. We ran a little long, but a lot of Washington, D.C. talk kind of ran us over, so it's all good. Definitely worth talking about. Very important stuff. So I guess, Jeff, cue the music, and we'll close it out.
All right.
The Fantasy Six-Pack Hour.
Maybe wrong music. That's all right. We'll close out. Peace out, everyone.